Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, autism diagnoses in Ireland have tripled in less than a decade, putting growing pressure on schools and other public health services. But what's behind the increase? And is misinformation around autism a factor here? I'm joined by Adam Harris, who's founder and CEO of As I Am. Adam, you're very welcome indeed.
Thanks for having me this evening.
We were just talking off air there, and the obvious assumption some people might have when they hear that autism diagnoses in Ireland have tripled in less than a decade, they might ask, why? What's happening here?
And I think the key word there is diagnosis. Because, of course, when we talk about autism, what we've seen over the last number of decades has been a significant increase in understanding of autism and awareness of autism, not just amongst the general public, though that has been important, but also amongst the clinical professions themselves. Over the last number of decades, we've seen changes both to the diagnostic criteria of autism and also to clinical guidelines on the assessment of autism. Our understanding has grown greatly. A number of years ago, there was a significant shortage in the number of girls accessing diagnosis. There was a reality that there was a very poor understanding of masking, which is where autistic people can conceal their differences at an enormous cost in terms of mental health. So I think for listeners at home, no doubt this data will be surprising. But I think for those of us within the autism community, it's not surprising at all. And that's for a number of reasons. For a number of years, we've been highlighting to the state the significant failings in data around autism within Ireland. We don't have a relevant census question on the issue. We see realities that because of the failure in public pathways to assessment, increasingly both autistic children and autistic adults have to access their diagnosis privately. And as a result, that data is much harder to track. And we've also seen where we look at other jurisdictions around the world, including in Northern Ireland, where there is legislation that requires data to be published annually, that number of 1 in 20 coming up again and again and again. And for us, that's very positive, because what that means is people in the past who went unsupported, people in the past who were invisible within the system, who often faced enormous barriers right across their life as a result, now are getting that diagnosis at a younger age. And now that's providing the state with the opportunity to plan for that.
Okay. So, I mean, that's key in a way. So it's not that there are greater numbers of people with autism in society. It's that there's a greater awareness and greater diagnosis. There's always a time lag, though, generally, right across public services between the awareness of a need and then the delivery or provision of a service to fulfill that need. So is it worrying then that if we're not up to speed in terms of public assessment of and diagnosis of autism in the public service, that we're not even meeting a fraction of the need here?
I think that's absolutely correct. And I think at the moment we only have a visibility of those who actually have a diagnosis, not those waiting multiple years to access it. I think we also need to be very, very clear that on the one hand, when we see an evolution in terms of the demographics of a community, there's an opportunity to ask ourselves collectively, how do we respond to that in new ways to meet demand? And that's a positive discussion and the sort of one that autistic people and families want to be involved in. And I think very easy, however, there's a tendency on officialdom to slip into that space of, well, maybe it's just overdiagnosed. Maybe it's not our lack of planning or lack of investment.
Does that happen, do you think?
Very much so. And I think we're seeing that, unfortunately, unfold in jurisdictions all around us at present.
Does it happen here?
I believe so. We have seen in the past, for example, public officials at Oireachtas committees raise this question. We've seen a huge focus on why there's so many people accessing diagnosis and not enough focus on the fact as to why have we not been able to respond to
that. What would lead anyone, any public official or representative, to believe that there's an overdiagnosis?
I think the reality is by not engaging with the data in a meaningful way. You know, I think the reality is on the one hand, we can look at the fact that there's more people accessing diagnosis and saying there must be something wrong. But on the other hand, what we can look at is what's happening internationally. We can look at the literature. We can look at the changes to diagnostic criteria. So I think in a sense, when people do go down that road, it's quite a cynical route to take. I don't think the evidence supports
it. But is it from a perspective of disbelief, do you think?
I think it's from a perspective of disbelief, or perhaps sometimes it's trying to bring about a system in which we talk about, you know, taking purely a needs-based approach and not recognising that actually diagnosis and assessment can guide how we best support somebody and what a person's needs are. And sometimes it can lead us to describing systems that on the one hand sound extremely progressive, but in actual fact bring about a system that, as opposed to having an identified group of people with clearly clearly identified needs and associated rights, we move ourselves into a situation where it's basically a grace and favour approach to the state in responding to need.
Mm-hmm. What do you think needs to be done then to fulfil the clearly identified needs of people with autism? What isn't being done?
So I think one of the things that we need to do is greatly improve our data. One of the things that was very welcome last year was the publication of the Autism Innovation Strategy, which has placed a significant emphasis on the importance of national data around autism. But just as they've done in Northern Ireland, we need to legislate for that because that will lead to better outcomes. In terms of our education system, you know, the reality is the data is there and we're not engaging enough with it. Parent groups for a long time have been highlighting the fact of global prevalence of autism and the fact that we're not planning enough special school and special class places. There's children started who will start in September in an autism class place in junior infants, but 8 years' time, there won't necessarily be the corresponding place in first year in an autism class. So we need to engage with that data better. What we do need to create is a centralised application process. So instead of families having to apply to 30, 40, 50 schools, they only have to make one application and can access a place within their community. I think a question that isn't asked, and it goes back to your previous question, is instead of perhaps asking why do so many people get autism diagnosis, a better question would be why are so many people still feeling the need to or more people than ever before to apply for special schools and special classes? Perhaps that's because families have a real lack of trust that their child's needs will be met within mainstream. We still don't have mandatory teacher training on autism. We still see a disproportionate number of autistic children suspended and expelled from school. We still see families have to fight extensively for access such as SET hours, additional teaching time or special needs assistance. If people had trust that their child's needs could be meaningfully met in mainstream settings, that would make for a more inclusive system for all.
Would that be a preferable option for the child and the family, mainstream setting as opposed to a special education setting?
I think within our current system, it's very clear we need to have that full range of options, special schools, special class and mainstream. And I'm particularly concerned that there's a significant shortfall in the number of special school places that are needed for September, as there is for autism
classes. Yeah, and we discussed that. And it struck me when you said that there a child might have a primary school special education place, but not a secondary. Like, there will be children who will not have a starting place in a special education place in a school next September. And that's a frustration for an awful lot of families, too many families.
It's an enormous frustration. And what we will continue to see is really strange anomalies in the system where, on the one hand, the state isn't able to quickly move on capital investment where it's needed to provide once-off investment to establish an autism class, but is prepared to spend literally an endless amount of money, millions per year, bussing children out of their community. So this lack of using data effectively has impacts right across the board.
If there was the will, do you think every child would have a local special education place or a mainstream place next September?
I believe if the appropriate planning had been put in place, we know from all of the media coverage that we have unprecedented resources at our disposal. And we know that there's a very strong constitutional right for a child to have an autism class place. In 2022, legislation was passed that gave the department significant power to compel schools to put in place places where they were needed. And we now need to see that followed through on consistently.
And starting, let's say, where we are now, because we had the Minister for Education into us in this programme last week, and we did talk to primary school teachers who talked about a multidisciplinary therapeutics set up in various schools, that's an optimal approach. Do you think, starting where we are now, do you think that it could be done that every child would have a place, special education or not, locally next September?
Well, I think it's very clear that the onus is on the state to deliver that, and there really is no excuse for it not to be delivered, because year upon year we have this conversation and year upon year we find ourselves back here. What I will say though is that this last minute rush every year leads to a lot of problems. It leads to a lot of stress for families and for children who don't know where they're going to school in September. Mm-hmm. But also what it actually leads to is a scenario where schools aren't sufficiently prepared, and we've engaged with many families who've fought long and hard to get that special school place, to get that special class place, only to find that the environment isn't suitable, that the teacher hasn't had training, that school policies aren't up to speed. So again, what we need to, it's very easy for us to discuss autism just in the case of big numbers. We need to remember we're talking about individuals and rights holders. Mm-hmm. But I think critically, we also need to raise our ambition and talk about quality and talk about in the context that we're in this positive space where we're identifying autistic people in large numbers, how can we create systems that work and that meet individuals' rights?
Okay. And I'm sure an awful lot of parents and families listening will say, so say all of us as well.
And those families can contact us at any time on our autism information line at support@asiam.ie or Monday to Thursday on 0818 234 234.
Adam Harris, founder and CEO of As I Am, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. 51551 is the number for your text.